What are you afraid of? Now, what you're afraid of is different than what I'm afraid of, but we're all afraid of something. So I know you're afraid of something, because that's just natural. That's just human to be afraid of something. But even though it's natural and it's human, it's not what God wants. He wants us to not be afraid. And the fact that he and his son feel that way tells us that it's possible to overcome our fears and that they will help us to do that. And that's what we're going to learn about this morning in the exhortation. And this reading that we've done today has always been one of my favorites for several reasons. One of those is kind of an odd reason, but I've put myself in Joshua's place, and I think, wow, if God told me you are going to go to battle, you're going to fight, and not only that, you're going to be the general to lead all these my people out there to fight, I would have been petrified. That would have been really scary to me. And so I'm really fascinated with someone who can not be afraid of something like that. And that's why this has always fascinated me. Joshua is just a great example, and we'll see as we look at this chapter a little more closely. He's a great example of somebody who does what you should do when presented with a really scary situation. So the first thing when we're thinking about fear, and what I want to do today is talk about how we can overcome fear. Really, that's the point of my exhortation. Again, as I said, it's a fascinating subject to me because I have such a hard time with it. So I really understand it, and I can really relate to people. I can't relate necessarily to your fear. For instance, the fear of heights. I know there's people that's a real fear for. It scares them. It doesn't scare me, and so I don't understand it. You wouldn't understand my fears. I'm afraid of big dogs, and probably a lot of people think that sounds really silly, but you know, I don't want to be bitten by a dog, and so it scares me when I see a big dog. Sometimes even when they're on a leash, I don't like them. So I have fears, you have fears, they're different, but we all have fears. So the important thing to remember, I think, when you're thinking about fear is that it can be controlled. We can win in the battle against our fears, and we don't want to give up. Look at Joshua here in Joshua 1. Let's go to this chapter that we read this morning. So Joshua is told in verses 6 and 7, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you." You notice when you read this chapter how many times that he's told, be strong and be courageous, and we don't have time to go there and look, but in Deuteronomy we're told Moses had said this to him before. And in the end of the chapter, even the people are telling Joshua, be strong. And to me, that's counterintuitive. I mean, somebody can tell me, don't be afraid. It's like, oh, that's easy for you to say. You know, you don't have to feel emotions that I do. I am afraid. And so how did Joshua, I don't know if Joshua was afraid. Maybe he wasn't afraid. But I have a feeling that since he was a normal human being, that this would be a fearful thing for him as well. So if we're going to overcome something, I think the first thing is we have to understand it. We have to know what it is. So let's talk about fear. First of all, I think to understand what fear is, we have to kind of know the opposite of fear. And the opposite of fear is faith. So that's the thing for a believer. The reason why fear is such a bad thing is because it shows a lack of faith. So if we're afraid, it's because we don't have faith. And the reason I say that is a verse in Matthew chapter 8. Let's go there and look at, and you're familiar with this story, I'm sure, but here's where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and they are really afraid. And I bet you if every one of us in this room were in their position, we would be afraid. So I said we have different fears. I can't imagine anybody being in this situation and not being afraid. Now for me, this is a really scary situation because one of my fears since I was a little kid, I think this actually started at Bible school when I was a little kid and my mom was taking me in the pool up there and she let, somehow I slipped or something and I swallowed water. But anyway, the fear of drowning has always been like a big one for me. So this one is really scary here. Matthew 8 verse 25, at least for me. So they're out on the Sea of Galilee, there's a big storm. And Jesus is asleep, and the disciples are afraid they're going to die. And verse 25 tells us, And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. So I don't know about you, but if I was out on a lake and it's like dark and the waves are coming into the boat and it's filling it with water, I'd be really scared. You're not going to have a life preserver back then either, so you're going to be out there on your own. And they went and woke Jesus, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." So they knew they were about to die. So they woke Jesus up, and instead of saying, "Oh, I shouldn't have been asleep, I should have been awake to take care of you guys," he says to them, "Why are you afraid?" And what does he say in the last part of that? "Oh, ye of little faith." And that's always been like a shocking verse to me, because I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be afraid. So what does that tell me? I have only a little faith. I shouldn't be afraid. There's Jesus in the boat with them, and they're afraid. And so that tells us that when you're afraid, it's because you don't have faith. When you're a believer, I mean, we understand people out in the world are afraid of a lot of things because they don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know, they want to be in control. But for us, we know who's in control, and when we are afraid, it shows us that we're lacking in faith. So that's the first thing to know, that fear shows you're lacking in faith. The next thing is that if you don't have fear, you're able to have peace. So if you don't have peace in your life, that also shows that you are afraid. John 14:27, one of my favorite verses too. Let's take a look at that. The verse, I actually have a plaque at my work that has this verse. I may have mentioned that before because this one is so important to me that I thought I wanted to be able to see it every day. It doesn't work as well as I hoped seeing it every day. Sometimes I still give in to this, but anyway. Jesus here in John 14, verse 27, says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And this is the amazing part to me, and the part I always try to focus on. Jesus says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." How do you do that? So you're scared. How do you just say, "Oh, I'm not afraid"? I just always thought that was a weird thing for him to say to them. And then he says, if you're wondering what does it mean by their heart being troubled, he says, "Neither let it be afraid." So don't let yourself be afraid. And that to me is like, again, counterintuitive. When I first focused on these verses, I thought, how in the world can a person not be afraid when they're afraid? Well, in a couple chapters over, John 16, verse 33, we start to get the answer to that. How can we not be afraid when we are afraid? And here's the key. John 16:33. "These things I have spoken unto you," and here's the real key, "that in me you might have peace." So we only get peace when we're focused on Jesus and his Father. That's the only way that we're not going to fear, if we focus on them. And we'll take a look at some more verses here in just a minute to really emphasize that. That is the way to overcome your fear. So you can't just say, "I won't be afraid," because if anybody's ever tried that, you know how well that works. It doesn't. But if we focus on God, we can really overcome our fears. And we have to believe that. We have to believe God will do what we ask him to do. Russ mentioned in his prayer, it's always interesting when you hear, I think he talked about how in Sunday school, even the object lesson kind of fit in with what I'm talking about today, which I didn't anticipate that, but it's really nice that it worked that way. Even death, if you're going to pick a fear, and let's be honest, and people say like public speaking is worse than dying, things like, I've always doubted there's anybody out there that if you threatened death, that they'd say, "Yeah, I'll go ahead and kill me. I don't want to give a public, give a speech or something." But people will say that. But the thing we're all most afraid of, if we're really honest, is dying. And we're told that we don't need to be afraid of that. And so if we don't need to be afraid of dying, there's nothing else that we really need to be afraid of. Hebrews 2:14. These are verses that we often use speaking about the atonement. But look at what it says at the end of it. We kind of forget this last part here in Hebrews 2:14. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil." And here's the part we sometimes stop reading right there because we're thinking about the devil. And we forget this last part here. And deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And there is a really good verse to think about what fear does to you. It makes you a slave. So if we're afraid, even if we're afraid of dying, we've become a slave. And that's not what any of us want to be. But it says here, because of Jesus, that he died, we don't even have to be afraid of death. And why is that? Because we know through him, and that's why we're here, right? That's what we're here really to think about. Because of him, we can be raised from the dead. So even death is not something that we need to fear. And in 1 Thessalonians, we won't go there right now. I think most of you will be real familiar with this verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14 talks about how we shouldn't even have the same kind of sorrow that people in the world have when those we know die who are in Christ. Because we know when he returns, they'll be resurrected and we'll see them again. So even death is not something to fear, as Russ mentioned in his prayer. And that is pretty mind-boggling if you think about it. That's the level that God wants us to be at, where we're not even afraid of dying. And I've seen that in a number of the older brothers and sisters, especially when they get very close to dying, that they're actually not afraid of dying. And that's really an amazing thing to see. And that's really, though, is what we're trying to get to. That's the level that we want to reach. So how do we get there? Since we know we can't just turn off our fear, we really can't. It's going to come up. It's a natural emotion. We're going to be afraid at times. There's really not a whole lot we can do about that. What can we do? How do we get ourselves and our minds in the place that it should be so that we can overcome fear and deal with it when it does happen in our lives? There's a number of verses that tell us what to do, and so I'm going to go through those right now. And I hope that they're a help to you like they have been to me. And certainly not an expert on overcoming fear, as I said, but I have found some verses that have been very, very helpful. So let's take a look at those. The first one we're going to look at is Isaiah 26, verse 3. And you're going to see that there is a pattern to all of these verses. So Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace. And who gets to have perfect peace? Who has a lack of fear? Whose mind is stayed on you. So if our mind is focused on God, then we can have peace. And you'll see how that works as we continue through this. But if we keep our mind where it's supposed to be, then we can have peace. Because he trusts in you. So in other words, that person trusts in God. And there's the other key. Now, you're not just thinking about God, but you're trusting in him. You're putting your faith and your confidence in God that he knows what he's doing. So there's no reason to be afraid. You know, you're not really the one in control anyway. It's God. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And by rock, the idea there is in the old days when somebody was going to go to battle and they wanted to be behind some kind of protection, they got behind a rock. And if you're my age, you remember TV shows when you were a kid where the cowboys were shooting each other and one of them would hide behind a rock and come out and shoot and then he'd get behind it again. And that's the idea. God is a rock to protect you. Now, I kind of made it sound like with Joshua that God just said, okay, you're going to not be afraid anymore, and then that was it. But if you go back again, you're going to see this is the same thing that Joshua was told to do. So let's go back there, back to Joshua. Chapter 1, and you'll see that God tells Joshua why he doesn't need to be afraid. And it's the same thing that's true for us, too. So we can use this in our own lives. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? So God has commanded him to be brave, not to be afraid. But why is that? It goes on in the verse to say, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. So the reason why Joshua didn't need to be afraid is because God was with him. And don't we believe that too? Sometimes we forget that, but we believe God is with us and he's directing our lives. So what is there to be afraid of? And that really is the reason why we can let go of our fear, because we trust God. So we need to lean on God. That's what we're being told here. But how do we do that? Now, I'm always wondering how. It's easy to say, oh, I'm going to trust God from now on. But how do you actually accomplish that? And I think there's three keys to that. The first one is talking to God. So we have to talk to him in prayer. We have to tell him if we're afraid. We can certainly tell God that. He already knows that. We heard that in our class this morning when James was talking about how God knows what we need even before we ask him. So we might not want to admit we're afraid, but God already knows we are anyway. So we might as well admit that to him and tell him. And then we need to ask him for strength. And one of the ways we get strength is through listening to what he says, which we do by reading his word. So we talk to him, telling him how we feel, how we need help from him. Then we turn to his word to get help from that. And then finally, the one that, those are pretty easy. I mean, you hear those all the time. It's no big deal. The one that's really tough is then you have to put it into action. And to overcome fear, you actually have to do, and this is the really kind of the bad part, the nasty part of doing this, is you actually have to do something you're afraid of, which is counterintuitive to what we want to do. When we're afraid of something, we want to run. And that's what I would think of as Joshua. You know, if I was Joshua, I'd say, oh man, I think I'm out of here. You know, I don't want to do this. And that's the typical reaction we have to fear, when it should be the opposite. We should actually say, I'm afraid of that, I'm going to do it. And that really is the way to overcome fear. So we need to get the strength that God gives us. We can't do it on our own. Do you remember in Philippians 4:13, you probably have seen this many times and heard it many times, where Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And King James says, through Christ who strengthens me. Of course, it's God and Jesus both giving us strength, but that is where we get our strength from God, to be able to overcome our fears. We ask for God to help us, and then we have to let go of our fear to show that we really believe that he can help us. And this is always the difficult thing with prayer. It's very easy to ask God for something. You know, you pray for whatever it might be. You know, you might, as a speaker, you might pray, you know, help me to do a good job today. But then if you just keep on fearing, oh, what if I don't, then have you believed your prayer? You haven't. And so when we ask God to give us strength and help us not to be afraid, we have to go do that thing that we're afraid of to show that we believe he's going to help us. Look at Psalm 34. It's another verse that I find very helpful on this subject. Psalm 34, or it's actually a series of verses, 34, 17 through 22. Here's the important thing about prayer. We have to believe that when we ask God something, he will give it to us, or he won't. So if you say, well, I'm going to pray for the strength I need to overcome this fear, and then you don't do anything about it, you don't do something you're afraid of, then you didn't believe God would help you. So 34 verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. And what does he do once he hears? He delivers them out of all their troubles. So we have to believe that when we pray to God to help us, he will do it. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So take that verse to heart and understand that when you ask God for help, he will give it to you, and then lean on him, trust him, and don't want to control everything yourself. That's the real key to overcoming fear. And of course, we need to use Jesus as our example. We want to see somebody who leaned on God when they had difficult times. It's Jesus that we're here to remember today. He's the perfect example for us. So you think about it. I think personally that when he was in the garden, he was scared to death, literally, because he was about to die. And he even says, you know, that I feel like I'm dying. He basically told the disciples that at the time. He was just really concerned about what was about to happen to him. And so he, I think we can all relate to that. If you're about to be tortured, that would be a pretty scary thing. Well, I think the final thing I want to talk about is patience, because I think where we usually fail in things when we want to change and like maybe we're fearful, we don't want to be anymore, is we're not patient enough with both ourselves and with God. All these things take time. We learn to be fearful over a lot of years. If you're as old as I am, that's like half a century. You learn to be fearful about things, and so it takes a long time to let that go. It's not, you know, I can't say, well, now I'm going to trust God, and then tomorrow I'm trusting Him on everything I ever do. It's going to take time to work on that, to actually allow God to prove to me that He will take care of me when I'm afraid. It's not going to come easy. We have failures. We have to start over. The thing I always think of when I'm thinking of something like this is when people go on diets, and I see this sometimes, people will go on a diet and they'll lose like whatever, like they wanted to lose 10 pounds or whatever, and then they're like, oh boy, I lost the 10 pounds, and they go back to start eating like they were before, and of course they go back where they were before. And that's what we might think with something like this, that once we decide we're not going to be afraid, then the rest of our life we'll never be afraid again. Life doesn't work that way. You know, we'll have to keep trying again and again and again. But we can't give up. That's the important thing. Because as I said at the beginning, God has told us, don't be afraid. So it's not something that's an option. We can't say, well, you know, I wish I wasn't afraid, but I'm afraid, so that's the way I'm going to be. We have to do what God has told us, which is don't be afraid. So we have to get to that. We have to work on it. But the other thing about anything in this life is perfection is not possible. So we're never going to be, we'll probably, and there's, I don't think there's any question about this, we'll never even be as good at it as Jesus was. But we can improve. And that's the real key in our life, is that we're moving forward and we are improving. So, I want to ask you a question. What do you think? Did Joshua display the courage God asked him to have? What do you think? You have to think about it. If we go back to Joshua chapter 1, we can see he definitely did. Again, I can't be certain. You know, there's no verse that says Joshua was really afraid, but I have a feeling there was some fear running through him when he heard what a task was in front of him. But if we look at what he did, remember we read verse 9 where God said to him, you know, don't be afraid, be courageous, I'm with you. What do you think happens in verse 10? Now let's read it. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Well, if he was afraid, he did the right thing and he just went, plowed right through it and said, get ready, we're going. We're going to do what God said. We're not going to be afraid, but we're going to do exactly what God told us to do. And that's what we need to do. We have to trust God. You know, we have to do what scares us. We have to actually take on those things that we're afraid of, especially the things we're afraid of spiritually, speaking to other people about the truth or correcting someone when they do something wrong, those things that are very scary to us. We have to go ahead and do those. And then we have to be patient and realize that we're human and we're going to fail and we're going to do it incorrectly sometimes, but not give up. And then I want to read now as we get ready to take the bread and wine, some of the really most beautiful verses, I think, in the Bible. And I want to read from Luke 22, verses 39 through 43. And we're going to look here. Notice the very end of this, how Jesus follows the pattern and then he gets the strength from God. So Luke 22, verses 39 through 43, and try to remember this when we're afraid, that this is the pattern to follow. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him.